versus valid means, quote, if one is psychotic enough to have delusions, but clever enough to choose religious themes, then one is immune from societal intervention, end quote. Perhaps a partial explanation of the law's role as passive bedfellow of the cult can be found in the organized efforts of cults to intimidate and discredit lawmakers who try to take action. For example, one recalls the Church of Scientology's Operation Snapper, directed against California's Deputy Attorney General Lawrence Tapper, or their efforts to quash a Florida bill designed to regulate psychological practices, as well as their efforts against the mayor of Clearwater, Florida, Gabriel Cazare, who was a critic. Delgado's monograph in the Southern California Law Review gave a clear discussion of the First Amendment as a protector for people rather than as a protector for organizations that may be abusing it. But apart from some discussion by scholars, much of it negative, little has happened since, and Delgado's suggestions have been virtually ignored. All states have statutes permitting the establishment of guardianships, which provide a possible legal means of creating a cooling-off period for persons recruited into cults. But most conservatorship laws are couched in such restrictive terms that they can't be used for this purpose. Law on their own hands to rescue a child from a cult, which has been known to happen, and the legal action against them results, a defense of necessity has usually been successful. This is probably because the verdict is reached by juries made up of average people who are closer than judges to the human common sense and human feelings of such a situation. The recent finding for the Daily Mail in the Unification Church's libel action against that newspaper offers hope that American jurisprudence eventually may follow suit. Next, there's the Civil Liberties Establishment. The ACLU achieved its sizable membership, prestige, and considerable war chest through the years by protecting individuals from the tyranny of groups. Such groups usually were those God-given liberties that we all declare to be so important. Today, with regard to cults, there is a debate about freedom. One side holds that the person who is in the cult should be free to stay, or that the cult should be free to protect him in his putative desire to stay. The other side holds that the person in the cult should be free to leave, or if there is suspicion by interested parties about whether or not he is truly free to leave, then those with personal attachments to the subject should be able to create situations in which the issue of his freedom to stay or leave can be objectively determined. It is known that the Church of Scientology has been striving to infiltrate the ACLU. We don't know how far they may have gone, but some of us old-time admirers and members of the ACLU have become very troubled over that organization's seeming bias in favor of the cult's side of this debate. When the ACLU was founded, one of its most important qualities was that it was a legally oriented entity, but separate from our formal legal system, and separate from the organizations with which it was presumably concerned. But now it appears that at least one prominent ACLU attorney, who frequently testifies on behalf of the ACLU, is also frequently legal counsel on a private basis for various cults, including the Hare Krishna group. If the ACLU were anything other than what it is, this would be called conflict of interest. Certainly the ACLU has not undertaken any courageous or pioneering investigation of the growing body of allegations and complaints that the cults are depriving large numbers of people of their most fundamental liberties. They seem to be expending all of their energy on sending a 14-year-old boy back to the Soviet Union. Fifth and last, since I'm getting myself into deeper and deeper trouble this morning, are the established religions. Perhaps these are the strangest bedfellows of all. It is interesting to note that the first major effort by the churches of California with regard to legislation relevant to cults in the months following the massacre in Guyana was not anything to do with preventing another such disaster, but rather to decrease the authority of law enforcement to investigate a Jim Jones of the future. Many respectable religious organizations took great pains to press the Pecos bill through to the final passage by the legislature, even bringing a legal expert from Harvard and an executive of the National Council of Churches to testify for it. What was the result of the passage of that bill? Well, here's one example. When machine guns were found in the possession of Hare Krishna members, the Pecos bill made it impossible for investigators to check the Krishna records to see if the guns were purchased with money collected at the airport. In fact, there are some who say that if the Pecos bill had been law, before the People's Temple moved to South America, Jonestown might have happened in Mendocino County. Senator Robert Dole held hearings on cults in Washington 3 years ago following the Jonestown massacre. Representatives from the National Council of Churches, the Baptist community, the Episcopalian Church, the United Church of Christ, the ACLU, and the Unification Church all spoke for the freedom of cults. It seemed to those of us who followed the hearing, the freedom of cults to do almost anything in the name of religious activity. And there were few dissenting voices. I think one lonesome rabbi. I don't know how he got in there. 300 experts in church-state relations met in Washington to call for less government in religion, oriented along the same line. It was ironic that this occurred at the same time that the moral majority was trying to put more religion into government. Last year, the Church of Christian Liberty and Academy, which is based in Illinois, placed a full-page, that's last month, a full-page ad in the Los Angeles Times, asserting that the IRS attempt to get information about that church's finances, quote, means the end of religious freedom in this country, end quote. And I'm afraid that that's a very important part of this united front, which includes so many strange bedfellows. Money. A few religious groups have acknowledged the nefarious nature of cults. The New York Council of Churches denied the Unification Church admission to its group. Certain Jewish agencies have tried to promote public education about cults. But on the whole, the respectable established religions have made common cause with cults in relation to the major issues of public concern. To the outside observer, it appears that on the whole, churches have been singularly pusillanimous in relationship to this whole issue and have been more likely to put their head in the sand than to tackle these issues head on. Issues that other people have described as a perversion of the meaning of religion. To me, one distinction between a genuine religion and a cult is that religions generally function for the good of the members in society, and the cults generally function for the good of their leaders and their power elite. In closing, I'd just like to say that It seems to me that in the struggle that's going on between the cults and their critics, the cults and their apologists have managed to generate a picture of the conflict, something along the line of David and Goliath. The cults are portrayed as idealistic new religions striving in a creative and timely way to explore the road to nirvana, or good health, or divine truth, or personal salvation, or even just righteous living. Their critics are pictured as belonging to an enormous shadowy conspiracy of the government, including the FBI and the CIA, the professional establishment, including the AMA and the American Psychiatric Association, and a powerful anti-religious network, suggested by some to have communist backing of everything. A network that employs goons called deprogrammers to tear the new religionists away from their path of righteousness and, through brutal brainwashing, to force them to return to something called the mainstream. My own impression, developed over a long period of time, is quite the opposite. The cults and cult-like ventures are wealthy and powerful, quick to take the offensive against any critics, shrewd in the use of public relations and political lobbying techniques, and generally enjoying the support of many aspects of the establishment, such as the courts, law enforcement agencies, conventional church groups, civil rights organizations, and the others that I've mentioned. This is quite astonishing, considering some of the improprieties or illegalities that have been exposed in the past few years. But the critics and opponents of the cults, on the other hand, as far as I've been able to see, appear to be rather weak, poorly organized, and generally, at least so far, quite ineffectual. The families of those lost to cults have not yet developed a very effective system of mutual help. Government has been of virtually no help at all. The Citizens Freedom Foundation is tiny and impecunious compared with even the smallest and poorest of cults. The national politician most concerned about cults, Congressman Leo Ryan, was murdered for his pains. The Dole hearings were a reasonable beginning, but never led anywhere. Other politicians who've tried to oppose the cults, usually at the municipal level, have been viciously attacked. It is far easier to identify a number of important political figures who have been helpful to the cults than those helpful to the families. Who else is there in opposition? What is this enormous monolithic opposition? A handful of freelance deprogrammers employed as a last resort by desperate families, and many of them not too savory. A few reentry counselors to help refugees from cults. These are mostly former cult members themselves operating on issues badly damaged by the overpowering counterattacks by the cults. And a few, very few, social and behavioral scientists and other academics whose voices have hardly been heard above the chorus of protests from all sides against their views. So far, looking at the cults versus their critics, it has been no contest.
This is the annotate number one.